I want you to understand something, yeah? That about 50 to 60 or 70 years from now, some of us here would have transitioned to glory. Others would still be around. Praise the Lord. Praise the living God. And when we transition from this world, at whatever point in time, you realize very quickly that a lot of things that we fought for, that we struggled for, that we put our hearts on, fall within the category of mundane. And yet on earth, they carry a lot of weight. Now, biblically, Jesus referred to what we call the weightier things. And weightier things differ. But there are things all men will attach a lot of importance to here on earth that carry no importance whatsoever in the other side. None whatsoever. I have met men and women who have put all their entire strength, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, praying for a car. A car. Now, I like cars. I like nice cars. But if you understood how quickly time passes by, if you understood that, what's the average age in this room now? Let me say 35. Now, let's say, just by happenstance, that the average age is 35. All right? Okay, fine, 30. That the average age is 30. You see, from a physical perspective, age matters on earth. That's why Job chapter 12 verse 12 says, wisdom comes with age. But from the spiritual perspective, no matter how old you've lived on earth, your age does not matter. Why? Because you find beings there, the chief of whom is referred to as the ancient one. That means in the spirit world, not having an age can be a number. They're ageless beings. They've been there for eons. So the age and the importance that you attach to it is just here in the realm of time. And however amount of time you live on earth, you said the average age is about 30. 30 years have gone by very fast. If you thought about those 30 years, in thought, they would pass by quicker than the amount of time that you've lived. That's because on earth, in the realm of time, the things that most of us attach a lot of weight to, like just when I said 35, no! From the spirit world, it doesn't matter. You're going to be gone much longer than the amount of time you've been here. But it matters to you what I perceive your age is. And it's okay for a person living in time. It's fine. But you must learn to lift your eyes to things that are eternal, to eternal realities. I've seen people spend 1 year believing God for a house. That's good. But you see, the way God fashioned this earth is that anything that is given to you in time that does not have eternal relevance comes empty. So the moment you receive it, you'll enjoy the house. After some time, you'll think, what next? That girl that you have been pursuing and your imagination of how you would be together, when you finally reach, there's an emptiness that comes. It's not that the person has a problem. It's just nothing on this earth can satisfy us. You have almost a God-shaped hole in your heart that only God can fill. There are people, as long as they can be conscious, they spend the entire amount of time chasing money. And as important as money is biblically for dominion, it is not used the other side. So anything that you're pursuing, you must put in your mind the use or the importance of that thing and the impact it should have in eternal reality. Praise the Lord. It's for that reason why you need to understand that scripture says that what does it profit a man to gain the entire world and lose his soul? And you see, from many perspectives, that refers to the fact that a man has decided to stick to the earth and its benefits and forgotten the importance of the other side. But also to the Christian, it is a reminder that rewards are not attached to the house that you get. They're not attached to the car that you will drive. Heck, they're not even attached to the person you will marry. There are things in the spirit that when a man does on earth, they have ripple effect in the spirit world. 50, 60, 70 years from now, you will transition. What will men remember you for? There's a man of God that I love so much. He passed away years ago, called A.W. Tozer. And on his tombstone is written, "A man of God." And he's not the one who decided. There were people around him that when he passed away, the conclusion of the statement concerning his life was "man of God." And I look at that and I say, Lord, there's a man called E.M. Bounds. He was a lawyer. God gave him revelations about prayer. He wrote about 15 books on prayer. When he died on his tombstone, "A man of prayer." Now the question then is for you and I. The challenge for you and I, that even as we're walking this time, even though we think we still have a lot of time to go, the Bible says that life here is like a breath. A man comes and he's gone tomorrow. What shall you be remembered for? Now, there are two categories. You can be remembered by men on earth, but most importantly, known by God for the things you've done on earth. That's why the Bible says, it says of Jesus that he grew in wisdom and stature, favor with God and with men. Do you know that there are men? I was talking with a man of God yesterday, and he brought out an interesting point, that there are people who have walked this earth and have had favor with men. And we clap for them. Some of them are men of God. And we attach the word "general" too quickly. Oh, we attach it too quickly. And the person can have favor with men on earth and not with God. It's also true that a man can have favor with God and not with men. The ideal is to make an impact both in the natural and in the spirit. What would you be remembered for? Do you know that when you came onto this earth, the moment that you were born, as you put on flesh within the confines of your mother's belly and came out and began to grow in consciousness, suddenly you began to pick up what are called eternal promptings. And as a child, every one of us here had a drawing towards a particular area. And if a parent was keen, they would have looked and seen it. And you see, Matthew 25:25 talks about an interesting thing. It says, it's a parable of the talent. And it says, "And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth." Now, talent here is not just the gift you're born with. It's talking about a spiritual reality that a person received as a deposit, that the moment they came here on earth, it will play out. And it can play out either in one of two ways. Either as a person grows, that spiritual deposit multiplies and magnifies, or it is hidden in the earth. How is it hidden in the earth? As you grow, you begin, if you're not guided, you will deny those promptings that we now call purpose. And when you deny them, what happens is that life begins to kick in. And when life kicks in, you have studies. Okay? At a certain point, you get married. You have a job. And the earth buries it. And let all these things, having a job, see, there is no reward attached to them. For example, getting a job can be a reward from God. But in the spirit, having a job is not rewarded. Are you with me? Because the things that attribute to rewarding in the spirit are things like, find a man who is diligent in all things, and he shall stand before kings. And so for diligence, a reward is given. One day, you and I shall translate from this world. What shall we be known for? The enemy is very interesting because he pays attention. Luke chapter 1 verse 11. This is a story about John the Baptist. The Bible says, and there appeared unto him an angel, Zechariah, of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Go on. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. 13. But the angel said unto him, now what he's about to say here is going to reveal a lot of things for us in the spirit. It says, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. Now, I wish I could explain it in its entirety, but you were announced before you came. The difference is who heard. Okay? You were announced before you came. And in that realm, announcements and decrees are made in order for certain things to appear here on earth. And even demons can hear those announcements. It's for that reason why the enemy can be able to know what a person carries. And here the angel says, shall bear thee a son and shall call his name John. Go on. It says, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. This is true of every child born. That is not the intention of God for someone to come onto this earth and people, oh, sadness has come. 15. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Now, there are decrees about your life. Your parents might not have had them, but they were spoken and planted in your spirit. Bam! And so you come out, and if you're John, some of you know John, because his father was a priest, he was supposed to be a priest, but he's drawn towards the wilderness. It's inside of him from the time he's a child. And if he listened to the people around him who tell him, get a job, the talent would be hidden in the earth. Are you with me? Now, if you understand that, you would then understand that men are given legalities and boundaries for their calls from the time that they are born. And I was discussing this with a man of God. The time that they are born. And so you will find that there are things for some reason that open up for you simply because they fall within the boundaries of your allotment. I'll give you an example. There's some people, finances just come, and they come whenever, let's say, they pray. Now, please understand, pray. It does not negate prayer. But a man could be given an allotment that whenever he kneels down to pray and there is no finances, they shall come. And yet another man, the allotment might be different. That is why you will find that there is a Hannah who kneels to pray and receives an answer. And there's an Esther who God does not desire her to pray. She must be bold and go before the king. Are you with me? If Esther prays, she'll miss her appointment. Again, I say, it doesn't mean don't pray. Okay? There is a man out there. Esther needs to be bold enough to go before the presence of the king. And the king says, ask for whatever you want, because it's within the allotment of the favor deposited upon Esther. There are people that I've met who have told me, Rabbi, things have failed. Things have, I said, there's an anointing on you. Doors just open. People have struggled to meet certain people in this country, but you just find yourself there. Yes, Rabbi, but I'm lacking finances. You're an Esther. Go stand boldly. And the king shall say, what do you want? I'll give you up to half the kingdom. But that is something that Ruth cannot do. Ruth needs to position herself. Praise the Lord. And so if you don't understand your allotment, every man has the allotment, has the boundaries that were given to him. You. It's the reason why at some points you struggle and others are not. It's not a demon. You understand? Do you know? Let me tell you. Within the confines of John the Baptist's allotment was that he should be in the wilderness. If John the Baptist tried to be Esther to see kings, the result is death. That's what happened. Because kings are supposed to go to the wilderness to John the Baptist. Are you with me? The allotment. Luke chapter 1 verse 80. It says, and the child, John the Baptist, grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. What a powerful scripture. Because it implies that to every man is a day of showing. A day of appearing. Here, every one of us. It's also referred to as the day of your power. Psalms 110 verse 3. Also referred to as the day of the Lord. Also referred to as the day of your visitation. To every man here is allotted. And scripture says, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. What does this scripture mean? This is what it means. That when you come onto earth, when you came onto earth, a purpose was given to you. And strangely enough, as you come with that purpose, there are people tied to your purpose. There are people whose purposes are tied to your purpose. That's what it means here. That your people shall be willing in the day of your power. That's what it means. That when you walk, wake up and take up that's yours. People discover their purposes. Do you know? There's a man called Charles Babbage. Many people don't know him. He was the inventor of the computer. And yet, perfect in his purpose, he provided a purpose for Bill Gates. And Bill Gates provided a purpose for millions. You see, should a man sit on that which God has called him to be? There are people who sit waiting. Their lives are at a hold because you're quiet. Because the earth has eaten up your talent. Shall we say of you, God forbid that it's the only thing we say, she was a beautiful girl. No. Oh, she was beautiful. Oh. That your purpose has other purposes tied to it. Imagine a man of God like Kenneth Hagin fulfilling his purpose here on earth, made himself efficient and a vessel for others to link into and find their purpose. And you see, as long as you're sitting, whatever excuse you give from the realm of the spirit, the Bible says, actually, biblically, it says that all these were given for example. There is nothing that you're going through that no one has gone through before. You can't stand before God and say, I'm the first one. Lord, this one here, I'm the first. You can't say that. And because of that, no man will have an excuse before the Lord. Sometimes I sit, you know, I was telling the man of God yesterday that I started to understand the confines of my finances. And I began to realize the boundaries thereof. And I used to think to myself that whenever I'll take note, I'm a student of patterns. Some of you are just, just allow things to happen. I am a student of patterns in my life. And so I would notice when I would get money and put it somewhere, after a few weeks, even though I've made some money, it dies. I tried again, that dies. And I tried again, that dies. Then when I stop, increase comes. Do you know that there are men of God out there who God has said, whatever you do, do not go into business. And the day they try to be sharp. And you see, the thing is this, you can love the business. You can love it. But you did not dictate the boundaries of your habitation. And you go into it and everything dies. Because to you he has said, the brook shall be ravens. Ravens shall come to feed you. Now you decide to be sharp. Another man thinks that you can use the ravens. So he sits now. Please understand that within the confines there are always miracles that take place. But understand the composition of your miracle. Understand how it is that it happened. Understand when it happened. Understand how it broke through. Understand your breakthroughs. Pay close attention to them. You see, one of the biggest things the enemy attacks is the faithfulness of God. Not the love of God, not the holiness of God, not the faithfulness of God. Because that's what affects men on earth. That's why in the Bible it says, even if you're faithless, he remains faithful, because he cannot deny himself. And then the enemy knows that that is true of God. But men can be shaken when they don't see the replication of something in the past. That's why you must be a student of your life. Know your life better than you. I was telling someone that you see, the first thing that is given to us here on earth, above all other things, is to know God. And second tied to it is to know ourselves. Everything after that is below it. You blow those two things. Everything. And so if you ever want to know how much of God you know, how much of yourself do you know? It is the equivalent. As we behold him, we are changed into the same image. And so, if you sit and think, because it's not about how many scriptures you know. A person can be potent in scripture and ignorant in the life of God. How much of yourself do you know? How much of you do you know? Both from the natural and the physical. So from the natural, I come from this village. My parents are this. This is what I like. This is what I hate. This is what I'm patient. I talk too much. All that. And then we go to the spiritual. That has to do with things like allotment. Your boundaries. And when you find it, you see, it doesn't matter who is king, as long as Esther goes. It is written in her... Man, you guys, as long as Esther knows that mine given to me is to go before kings, those doors open. Men struggle over different things because of different compositions of the miracles that play out in their lives. I remember recently, I was sharing with someone, I got to a point in my walk with God recently where I hungered for the next level. And I realized that from the day I got born again, I've had stages of hungering. Stages. And at each stage, the Bible says in Isaiah 37, a certain man comes. God sends someone at every stage and asks, what seekest thou? Right now, all of you are seeking different things. And the thing that you're seeking is either limiting you or opening a door for you, ushering you into that place that we call the day of your appearing, where you're in. You see, right now you're hidden. You're hidden. You're quiet. No one knows you. Okay, maybe apart from your few friends. Eh? But when the day of your appearing comes, I like to study the stories of people. When someone becomes a billionaire, I like to study their story. And I like to look for the Kairos moment. The changing moment. The moment that if he had missed it, we would never know him. Do you know how many billionaires right now are silent? They're not billionaires, they're potential. They shout every day, me, I'm billionaire. They put it on there. But oh, if things would just play out just because we've said them, life would be very easy. Saying has a role it plays, but there's positioning that when your day comes, Judges chapter 5 verse 6, in the days of Shamgar, who knows who Shamgar was? But of all the people that were living in that time, the spirit world allots their day as the day of Shamgar. You see, there are many people that we attribute as heroes in the Bible. If I asked you, you'd say David, Moses. No one would say Shamgar. And yet to him, it doesn't matter because he was efficient in his time. And he might not be as big as Moses and David in the realm of men, but the spirit world allocated the time that he was living as the days of Shamgar. And it says, the son of Anna in the days of Jael. So he wasn't alone. Now, when I read things, scriptures like, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. That means all those giants, all those whatever creatures were there, Noah stood out, and that dispensation is referred to as the day of Noah. He was alone. But here, Giles says, Shamgar, you won't take this alone, no? You understand? And some of you think it's a one-man thing. Eh? So you say, you take your man of God, and you say, in the days of the, you can also be there. Because it also says in the days of Jael, it adds him there. He said, Shia, Shamgar only. And he also put himself there. He said, in the days of Jael, it says the highways were unoccupied. And the travelers walked through byways. So what the scripture is saying here, that in those days, when something is a highway, it's a faster way to reach a place. But because of the time in which Israel was in, people feared to use the highways. So they used sideways, and it took longer to reach. Verse 7, the inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose. Now, please understand it. Deborah is arising in the days of Shamgar, and Jael, he said, even me, you won't leave me behind. You understand? And she also rises up. It says that I arose a mother in Israel. And she's not talking about having many children. Eh? Verse 8. They chose new gods. Then was war in the gates. Was there a shield or spear seen among 40,000 in Israel? Give me verse 12. Awake, awake, Deborah. Mira, she's writing this to herself. Awake, awake, utter a song. Arise. Now she's turning to Barak. That's another person. Barak, also you. Up. So it could have stopped on Shamgar. But from the spirit, it's the days of Shamgar, the days of Jael, the days of Demra, the days of Barak. Now, in this day, you must awake. And awake to the sense that your mind must be aligned to the consciousness of the things that are eternal. You can't just traverse the world crying about the fact that you don't have a husband. As important as that is. Because God forbid, I have attended, unfortunately, funeral services of people who got married and died a week later. Now imagine if the entire time they're just thinking about getting married. Oh my God, oh my God. Aren't there things you can deposit in the realm of the spirit that you can put as marks? This is why I tell you that when I pay close attention when someone rises in this nation. I pay attention, divine or demonic. I like to know the story of a man, because men don't rise by accident. And if they don't rise, the Bible says, I went up by revelation. Your day of appearing will show up. And you see, the thing is this, when you miss that day, your life has seasons. And because it has seasons, there are seasons the enemy will just let you enjoy. Because the Bible says, and he left Jesus for a season. So there are people who cruise, and the enemy is fine with that. The focus of the demonic world is always the day of appearing. Because that day can change narrations on earth and in the spirit. That's when a person's impact begins to rise. There was a day when my desert was two people in the back of a room somewhere in a church, Anglican church here, just constantly teaching them the word. I don't know where many of you are. You understand? I had no idea that was my wilderness. And there are wildernesses for every stage. And the scripture says, and the wilderness shall be turned into a fruitful forest. Praise the Lord. When the Spirit of the Lord is poured out. Now you see, this is why I need you to take some of these things seriously. You are needed. The law of supply and demand did not start on earth. It's a spiritual law. By the time you were born, there was demand. By the time you were born, there was what? There was demand. You hear me? You who they checked the other day, who they denied a visa, by the time you are here, there was demand. And the Spirit of the Lord, by his wisdom, has an appointed time for your appearing. And around it, the enemy camps. If only this person could miss the day of their appearing. When John the Baptist was in the wilderness, before the day of his showing, there is no record of any Pharisee disturbing him. No record. But when the day of showing comes, all of a sudden people come. Who are you? Are you Elijah? Are you what? People are interested. Let me tell you, you want to rise. But are you ready for the rising? You're a man of God here. You want an explosion. But are you ready for the explosion? What happens? What happens? And you see, let me tell you how truth works in the realm of the spirit. Let me show you how truth works. Imagine, I gave this example years ago. Imagine a teacher in front of children and is teaching them about planes. Young children, shows them a picture of a plane and says, repeat, plane, and they repeat, plane. To the minds of those young children, the teacher knows about planes. But as they grow and they begin to realize that there is someone who makes this thing, that there is something, there are laws, the law of thermodynamics, the law of what, that keep that plane up, that it's possible the teacher has never even been in one. That's when you realize that there are ranks of truth Now, the same is true for spiritual things. People fight over religions. You know, you fight. Say, no, this is true. This is what? This is true. This is true. This is true. In the spirit world, when a person transitions, the key is this. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You're either in light or darkness. They don't ask, are you Catholic? It's not there. Are you Anglican? It is not there. And so we fight. We fight dogmatics. You fight. Why are you going to that fellowship? Why are you going here? Why are you doing that? Oh, mundane things. Your purpose is void. You've chased vanities. You know what vanities are? There's examples of things that I've said. A person is chasing a car, having that car, yet it might be allotted in the realm of the spirit that the day you decide, this is my call, I'm pursuing it, the car will be given. You are important for this generation. There are men and women on this earth, because of their walk with God, they become doors. And when they become doors, and it happens a lot in the church, a man of God will rise up and he will seem to be different from what you've learned with your walk with God as a man of God. So you start to call him false. And when you call him false, because you're a door in your generation, you hinder many people from entering. And it's happening here on earth. It's happening. There are a lot of voices who have walked with God, who have failed to realize that Solomon can be meant for the palace and John the Baptist the wilderness. Are you with me? That John the Baptist should not turn to Solomon and say, why are you in a palace? Look at you with all your clothes. Huh? The wilderness is where God speaks. Then Solomon will say, you're there eating grasshoppers. I have abundance of women. You say, why should I come to that life of yours? Is that God? Every man is apportioned their allotment. Every single man. Every man here. And you see, the thing is that as hard as it might look for John the Baptist, you think, no, I would not want to be a disciple of John the Baptist. That's why maybe when these guys saw Jesus, they said, hey, man. Let me go this side. They say, we're eating insects. We're what, honey? Huh? I was telling some guys before I walked in that a man has to have a revelation when he's called to a particular place. Because if he can eat insects and honey and still be strong and is nourished, it's not just the insects he's eating. Eh? Now you also go, nah, insects. Someone makes a dogma about it. And a doctrine and says, you must eat insects. A way to do it. It was a revelation, an allotment given to the man. Now, sometimes your life and seasons can have particular kind of allotments. You could have a season of John the Baptist, and glory to God, you leave it. And you move to a Solomon. And glory to God, long may it last. Praise the Lord. Pay close attention to the patterns in your life. I get random people who will send me a message in the middle of the night on some of these Facebook. Some people send me an email. I don't know how they get my email, but some people send me an email. And the first question I ask, irrespective of what has been sent, why has this person come to me? There are 7.5 billion, 8 billion people on the face of this earth. Why me? There is something my light is drawing this person. There's something. Now, think about it. You here. Even your friends are not just your friends. The people who hang around you, people come to you for solutions. It's not just random. May I take those things absolutely seriously? When certain people leave, I look at the type of person that has left. And you see, let me tell you, once you learn to master the source of something, rest is inevitable. When you know this here is from God, You see, I've met a lot of people who say, I met a man of God. He told me, and I say this categorically, and I'll explain why. He said, man of God, for me, provision has always come with tithe. The Lord told him, as long as you tithe, you shall lack nothing. Now, the principle cuts across. But should this person decide that today, let me eat? The laws do not, there are laws that apply differently to him. Just like if John the Baptist had, if Jesus had shaved because he was a Nazarene, if John the Baptist had decided to put on palace clothes, something would hinder the influence and the power thereof. Now, hey, some of us, whenever you see someone doing something and you think it has a result, you think it's yours. You think it's yours for you to do. Someone says, I went 8 hours prayer. May I go back to listen properly? Lord, have you told me 8 hours? Oh, thank you. But you decide. You decide that that is my portion. You go 1 hour to, you're already. And you see, learning secret truths is that the way God deals with the confines of a person's call is so different that when someone is called to be an intercessor, the demand for prayer is different from the person called to be a businessman. Both must pray. But the demand to pray on the intercessor is bigger. So the businessman, if he's void of wisdom, will walk up to the intercessor and say, but you spend a lot of time praying. You see, for me, I have money, I have what? Who told you prayer does it? His confines. Provision has come as long as he's on his knees. Should he get up and say, you know what? Let me go into business. That's how many people's calls have been killed. That's why I have a problem, personally. I have a problem. The church globally has a section of people who have taken on callers as a job. No wonder darkness is prevailing in certain places. Where are the people who are called and who? You see, someone asks, who appointed you rabbi? One time, there's a guy who wrote on Facebook. He was a Jewish rabbi. And somehow I know that the increase, you know, when you are there of appearing, now comes, another one comes. Eh? First question, why is this guy calling himself rabbi? There's a guy who wrote that. He said, which Sanhedrin did you go to? I saw a precursor of my life. And if you know, you see, the Lord gives a grace to handle certain things. I was telling a few people that a man of God I trust said something. Yeah? You know, there are men of God we have slated, abused because we have had other people abuse them. You know, we're so bandwagon. Like, not spiritual. Ah, that one is not a man. Stop to ask, why? Why isn't he a man of God? Ah, my mother told me. So you go and it's just a long line of people who don't know. You see? And you need to understand that Jesus, by his wisdom, said, let the wheat and the tare grow together. It is not your job to start allotting. That one's off, that one's on, that one's off, that one's on. The key is to understand who has your menu, who feeds your spirit. And when they feed your spirit, it doesn't matter. They might not be your neighbor's menu. Huh? It doesn't matter if they're not. You have to have the boldness to say, it might not be yours, but it's mine. He speaks to my spirit. I know some people wish that they could be God and create one menu. It does not exist. It is not there. Understanding the seasonings of the spirit. Understanding. It is so, so crucial. So crucial. Last week when I was teaching on frequency, it is very easy for a person who's listening from the natural to think I'm telling you go and sell all your clothes. That's not what I was saying. Oh, get rid of all your clothes. Get woolen clothes. That's not, please. That is not what I was saying last week. And I wish you would understand me. If you listen to that message, A man of the spirit would pick the spirit of the word. And I was explaining the reason why I gave frequencies concerning clothes and what I knew. The reason why I stopped to not talking about frequency of money. Because I knew just this one here. Some chap out there has gone and put away all his clothes. Which is not what I was saying. What I was saying is that there are people, for example, who have walked with God. And the veil between spirit and natural has become so thin that very few things weigh them down. So there's a, you know, consistency attracts grace. So there's a grace of prayer that ushers them into that presence. They don't need to know color blue, what. But you who's struggling, you who goes to your room and you drink water, the tongue is dry. What I was saying was, when you need to ascend, understand what can help you. That's what I was saying. I was just saying, right now I'm not putting on linen. Okay? Be a person of the spirit. Don't be natural. Praise the Lord. Understand your menu. What does your spirit need in a season? And you know, it's okay for you to say, in this season, I'm not listening to this one. Yeah, what? How? If people could grow up. Paul said, some say therefore Paul, some say therefore Apollos. In the end, it's God's word. He gives the increase. It's God who gives the increase. And it's God who gives you the increase. Never involve yourself in things where you're trying to, you know, physically make things, work things out. You are graced. And you are graced the moment you grow in your purpose, in the thing that God has aligned for you to be. Certain lights will shine. You see, I'm a good student. I told you of my life. If I was called to business, one of the things I would do, one, especially if I'm looking for purpose and direction, the reason why I would start, say, an Instagram page is not because everyone is doing it. If I've started an Instagram page and say I'm called to fashion and I post my clothes, I'm always key to watch who has liked. Because apart from the family members who just want to help me and make you feel good, and the friends who say Van Bambi, only one like. Those ones. So usually such people, you just remove them. Yeah? Just those ones are there. But I'm key to watch. If there's an unknown person, something in my light has attracted them. And if one person can be attracted, there are those out there, anywhere around the world. You hear me? There was a time in the history of the church when the definition of a man of God was someone, is a man of God called Spurgeon. Never did a lot of miracles, but when he would stand up to give a sermon, hours after he has finished, the walls would echo. Powerful sermons. He preached over 1,000 sermons. And in his day, the definition of a man of God was Spurgeon. In other words, you can do all your miracles, but if you do not preach like this. Then as we moved on, we came to a time when men of God were seen as evangelists. So if you don't go wherever you're going and the crowds and, you're not yet a man of God. Tonaba. You see? And so, I was listening to an interview that the man of God, Benny Hinn, had with someone. And a person asked him, what do I need to do for my ministry to have everlasting impact? And he said, three things. One, never let go of dwelling in the word. Two, love God with all your heart. Let him be the first and foremost thing. And three, never wander outside your call. Those three. As men of God, it is very tempting to see someone doing something and has crowds to try to wander outside your call. And I know people who have called themselves apostle when they are not, who have called themselves prophet and they are not. There was a time in the past when it was a shame to call yourself prophet. So Kenneth Hagin was a teacher for 17 years. Because the time in which he was did not welcome the prophetic. But now we're in a time where if they put here, you know, have you seen those YouTube pages where they put the family members, then they let the little baby come, eh? Then the baby will always go to uncle, auntie, eh? If they put here prophet and teacher, I'm just wondering how many of you, how many of you would say, you know what, Rabbi? I know there will always be people say, Bambi, Rabbi is lying. Umamanyi mwe. I know you. You would feel sorry for me. Eh? And I have to accept, you see, I have to accept that this is their dispensation. This is their period. And let them be the voice. Let them lead. I will do my part. But you will never hear me calling myself prophet, rabbi. There was actually a newspaper article like that. Do you guys see that? That it caused me a lot of issues with some people. Eh? But now you have not gone to a Sanhedrin. And you're also a prophet. Remaining within the boundaries of your call. When you're doing business and God puts something in your spirit, and in your spirit, this is how it should work. But then you see the other one is how it's working. That it's doing well for those ones. And you leave this and go to that. This is why we don't do bandwagon when it comes to spiritual things. You're called to be an actress. Your day, you're always behind. I don't know what they call those, what do they call them? Those additions, not the, what? Extras. Some of you know you've been extra. In the movie of life, you're an extra. But when the day comes for you to come to the front, you better be ready. Better be ready. I've tested some people here, some men of God. I said, tomorrow I want you to preach, Rabbi. Rabbi. Let the room first reduce a little. And then it takes 2 years before I ask again. They knew not the day of their appearance. Look at all the people here. Look at how much money is here. Okay, you can't see in the spirit. Some of you. I was telling someone that should I say this? Lord, I don't know if it will be taken right. Eh? Our dispensation, the dispensation of man, eh? From Adam until the coming of Christ, our dispensation, it will end. When it ends, by his wisdom, there will be another dispensation. There have been dispensations before us. God, by his wisdom, does not give a person rank unless they've walked into it, they've earned it. Okay? That's why everyone shall be given according to their works. Eh? That's what the Bible says. So when you hear in the Bible, Michael, the prince angel, there is a dispensation in which that being and the right to be called a prince. Because it would not be righteousness to create someone lower and someone above. Everyone will earn the right. And one day when this dispensation is over, there are some who will be princes, some who will be kings, and some, there are no paupers in heaven, eh? But you will realize very quickly that even in glory, you would have known that you've missed out on something. There are a group of people called elders. For me, I was burning for something in my spirit. I told the Lord, I know I'm supposed to jump to something else. I know there's a timing, there's a season I've entered. I'm longing for something else. So I went to sleep. This was 2 nights ago. I went to sleep with a posture of show me something. Now, I've only shared with one person, but I might as well share with all of you. No, not in its completion. I went to sleep. And when I went to sleep, I was awake. Now, you don't understand what I mean. Eh? I was sleeping and dreaming. But a part of me was awake, paying attention to everything in the room while I was sleeping and dreaming. And it's strange because when you dream, you enter the spirit world. Eh? So your spirit is involved in the dreaming. It's a spiritual dream. But then here, my spirit is watching everything in the bedroom. And I was aware of both things taking place at the same time. Now, my little one sleeps in another room. When she gets tired of her bed, she wakes up at 3 a.m. and decides that the bed for two is now for three. Eh? So she walks in, and as she was walking, I saw her in her bedroom. I want you to understand, I'm sleeping. I know the dream I was having, which is totally different. But I'm awake, and I can see her waking up and coming all the way. And I told someone, I tried to receive her with my spirit. Then I remembered, hey, pussy. Then I woke up and got her into the bed. And I realized, okay, I haven't shared some other things, but I realized at that point that when a man postures himself to seek things that are higher, there are portals that open to him. Eh? And the experiences that he has, where God shows you, he's like a, you know how dogs are coming when you show a sausage and you keep on putting and the dog comes in, and the spirit of the Lord will keep on, first test that. Come closer. God never gives an experience for you to say, I had this experience. Hey, life goes back. He doesn't waste experiences. He doesn't waste them. So for you to have a major experience and say, yeah, I had this experience, yeah. He says, come, hunger, come closer. Then you become a voice in the nation. Finally, the Lord showed me something, a person who was praying for me, for something that I thought I had done very well, And in a dream, the Spirit of the Lord told me, this person has been praying for you. And at first I felt bad because I thought that I had done it on my own. What? You understand? And when I realized this person had been doing so, later when I got to see them, I asked them, have you been praying? I said, yes, Rabbi, how did you know? I took off 2 months and I was praying for this. I said, may the Lord bless you. And you know, we don't say bless you with words. Come up hither. Huh? Praise the Lord. Yeah. Esther, the Lord wants you to come up hither. When you're in that bus going to Tesoland or wherever you're going, full of non-believers, let your light so shine amongst men. Even you're on that bus and you're hitting potholes and what? I said, Naegwe, there's something about you. The generation we're in is so demanding. It's so different from the past. People are hungering for a God that is tangible. And that's why someone who just preaches the gospel can have an empty room. But where there is power and demonstration, people are packed, because young people want a tangible God. Let me tell you, you can see people raised from the dead, see a person who was lame walk, and that can play a part in your life. But there is a tangibility of the experience that is happening to you. When you watch something happening, the devil can always convince you at some point in the future that maybe there was trickery. But when you are part of the thing, that's why there's a difference between the Matthews telling the story that Peter walked on water and Peter telling it. You can never convince him. He knew. He stepped on the wall. Stepped and touched it. That's why I see some men are fools. I know many of them. A person will come and say, "You guys, your prophecy thing is a lie. You're lying. Your miracles are lies." Then I say, "Can I tell you what you ate for breakfast?" "Uh-huh. You try. And you tell them, I say, maybe I put it on Facebook. Our light needs to shine. I walked in here yesterday. I was walking in here at Silver Springs. The Askari stopped me. Said, "Man of God." I said, "Uh-huh." He said, "We heard you see in the spirit. Arsenal is playing Man City." Yeah, I was so disappointed. And you know, they gathered. I was in the car, so they gathered. Arsenal is playing Man City. "For I gotta call a saint." May men be drawn to your light like that. But you see, that's how a person who hasn't been in this room can see a light in someone long before someone else does. Rise up, child of God.